Welcome to another podcast edition of Cigar Advisor Master Blender Series. I'm Gary Korb, Executive Editor at CigarAdvisor.com, and today we're going to be talking to Eric Espinosa, founder of Espinosa Premium Cigars. They're some of the best Nicaraguan smokes out there. So without further ado, let's get to Eric, who's speaking to us by phone from his office. Are you in Nicaragua?
No, actually, I'm in Miami. I'm in my office. I was in Nicaragua last week.
Okay, yes. All right. So anyway, welcome to the program, Eric, and I appreciate you taking the call today.
Thanks for having me.
Okay, well, you know, we've known each other a long time, but I don't think I've ever asked you this question. I don't know if I've ever interviewed you like this, have we?
I don't recall, no, I don't think so.
So I'm going to ask you my famous question is, what's the first cigar you ever smoked, and how did it work out for you?
I mean, I used to smoke the short filler cigars that was selling in Miami and all that, but the first premium cigar I ever smoked actually was a Montero, which is a friend of mine who works for Alec Bradley, Ralph Montero.
Sure.
It used to be distributed by, I think Davidoff used to make it back in the day.
Long time ago. Yeah, it might have been Kellner.
I don't know if you remember that cigar or not.
I don't remember that, but probably Kellner made it, because I know he did a few things for them when they formed Alec Bradley, so.
No, this was way before Alec Bradley. Ralph was related to the guys over at Tropical Cigars when the Martin family. I know he was somehow, somewhere, he was related with them, and he worked with them.
Okay.
So this was way before even Alec Bradley was around.
Oh, all right. Okay. All right. Well, anyway, let's get going here. You came to the U.S. from Cuba with your family, but you're just a baby. So you grew up in Miami, you know, along with many of the other expatriates there. Do you remember any of the stories you heard about the old country when you were a kid?
You don't put your son, your daughter, your grandkids on a raft to come over here if things are good over there, you know what I mean?
Right.
You know, to put them in jeopardy, that means things are really, really bad out there. So, you know, that's the reason we came. Actually, we came in 1967. You know, I came on a plane, though. It was the, they had this program there. Where they called it the Peter Pan program, you know?
Okay.
Why they named that, I don't know. But, yeah, we came in 67. I was 3 months old. Then later on in life, I realized the reason why we came over. Of course, I was too young to understand that, but I realized it, you know, several years later.
Right. Well, I was just wondering if when people talked about it, you know, I'm sure that wasn't very positive, but might have been some interesting things you picked up. Now, I'm not sure a lot of people know about that your dad, Eric Sr., correct?
Right.
He was a cigar man?
No, my dad's a big cigar smoker, but he's retired. He loves watching the ball games, playing domino, doesn't like to travel, is scared of a plane, doesn't like to get on a plane.
Whoa.
So he stays in the back, you know, he comes over to the warehouse all the time, but he's not in the focus point, he's not in the people's eye.
Was he in the business, though?
He would grow tobacco in Cuba. That's
okay,
it, you know.
He's a grower.
And then when he came down here, you know, he stopped doing that for a long time. You know, he opened up a construction company. You know, even though he continued smoking cigars, he stopped growing tobacco and all that. He couldn't. And it's funny, then he opened up, we had a pig farm, which was, it's exactly the same location where I have the warehouse now, you know? So,
that's,
I mean, life brings you, throws different things at you, man. It's just funny how all of a sudden now my warehouse is right where we used to have the pig farm. It's clean now. It doesn't smell
well. Okay, good. Well, the cigars smell good. We know that. You know, when I first met you, I had been famous a couple of years, and you were still with Eddie, and you guys had a really great run. You had the 601, you had the Cubao, the Mi Barrio, all of which were being made by Don Pepin, correct?
Yes.
Okay, now look, I'm just looking back. How significant would you say that EO Brands period in your career? How, you know?
It was great. I mean, the cigars were great. You know, Eddie and I, even though we're no longer together, we still remain friends. You know, but cigars, what happens is that, you know, you get a nice run, you get a 2-3 year run, and then all of a sudden it slows down. And then we were doing great, but the economy, you know, it just tanked, and we had a lot of money in the street, a lot of the, we were not being paid, you know, we had to make a decision. So we, you know, then that's when we gave the distribution to Miami Cigars.
Now, you kept the 601 brand alive. You moved production to La Zona, correct?
Yes.
All right, so how have you been able to maintain that consistency from one factory to another?
Well, it's I knew the blends, and I continue making everything into bar, you know, triple cap, all that, and
okay.
So nothing changes. You know, is the blend going to change? It always changes a little bit because every year, you know, the crop, you know, if it rains a lot, it weakens the tobacco, and you got to play along with the blend. But we try to maintain it as close as the blend as possibly. But it's not just my brand; it's everybody's brands in the industry. You know, everything changes year by year. It's a naturally made product. You know?
Sure, I agree.
So everything changes. You know, things might change a little bit, but it might be for the better. You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
With all the technology we have now, you know, I think the flavor of the tobacco now has gotten a hell of a lot better than back in the days.
Oh, yeah. Hey, you know what I want to get into? This, Laranja. Is it pronounced Laranja or
Laranja? Laranja.
Laranja, okay. That's a Portuguese word, right?
Yeah, it means orange.
I just had one the other day, and I just love that cigar. How did you come up with the blend and the whole orange thing? What's that?
Well, I was in Nicaragua, and I went to buy some tobacco, And the guy I was working with, he showed it to me, and he was towards the door, and then the light hit it, and he opened up the leaf, and it looked orange to me.
Huh.
So I said, well, wait a minute, let me I looked at it, and I said, give me a couple hands of these. I just want to, you know, try to make a blend with this.
Right.
You know, it was a very thin wrapper. So I worked on it a little bit, and it was just amazing, you know, so I didn't want to call the cigar orange because people might think that it's infused with with orange,
yeah,
or what have you. So I figured if I called it a different orange, a different language, like Laranja, which is Portuguese, people didn't know what it meant.
Right.
So because I just felt that if I called it orange, people were going to think it's infused with orange or what have you. And people still think that I squeeze an orange in there once in a while or something like that.
Well, I don't know, I'll tell, but it's damn good. And I know you got a 93, which is an amazing score from the cigar. In fact, I think they featured it in this month's issue, even though it was reviewed earlier.
It was a cigar. They featured it again.
Yeah.
And I've just had nothing but great response to the cigar.
Yeah.
And we cannot make enough of it. You know, I just got back also from a Dominican buying more of that wrapper. It's grown in Brazil.
I see.
But the company who I buy with, their headquarters are in Dominican, so I got to go to Dominican, you know. So mm-hmm. I just bought a lot more of it. So,
great.
You know, I'm prepared. You know, hopefully I get a good number with Cigar Aficionado, and, you know.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm trying to prepare myself if you know, we get a top 10 or something.
Yeah, I hope so. You know, now, since we're talking about blends, when you're working on a new blend, like, you know, how do things like the tobaccos, the flavor profile, and the price point, how do they all factor in together? Are you thinking about all those things when you're blending?
Well, yes. Well, if I need to make a cigar for an ongoing project, then I need to buy the tobaccos that I'm going to, that I can get, that I have access to it. You know, you don't want to get something that, you know, that you can't get no longer, or you can't get it anymore, because
right.
And then that blend, that's it, it's done, you know, and I don't change anybody's blend, you know, your blend is your blend.
Correct.
You know, and if I can't get some type of tobacco, then I'll let you know, hey, listen, you know, this stuff ran out, or what have you. So we got to have that in the back of our minds, that whenever we create a blend, it's got to be something we can continue getting. And I don't grow tobacco, so, you know, my pricings are a little bit more than other people because I don't grow it. And I buy most of the product I buy, it's already been fermented. That's for me, listen, for me, time is money, you know?
That's right.
We're making, 5,000 cigars a day, you know, and, mm-hmm. and we're, you know, I like to buy stuff that's already cured, that I can just make them, get them out of there, bring them into the States, sell them, and then move on to the next.
Hey, talking about your factory, what's a typical La Zona day like for you? Like, you know, when you're in Nicaragua, what's you know, your routine?
Well, I have the I most of the times I go down there, you know, I'm real good friends with the guys over at True Stage.
Mm-hmm.
Sometimes I stay over at their place, and sometimes I stay in Los Arcos, which is it's walking distance to the factory. So, you know, I stay in Los Arcos. I get up, I have breakfast. You know, I get up early because you hear the most annoying noise at 6 o'clock in the morning out there in the hour. Yeah. You know, it wakes up the town.
Yeah.
Because not too many people have an alarm clock. So once that goes off, it's tough to keep sleeping. So I'll get up like around 6:30 and have some breakfast, head on down. And I'll just work with blends, work on getting the stuff that we need to continue making the cigars, go visit our purveyor, you know. Just start asking questions on new tobacco, trying to get different things. Because if you notice in my factory, what I try to do is I try that none of the blends taste the same. So we like to use different tobaccos from different countries, different regions. No two cigars in my factories taste the same. That's I'm very proud of that because it's hard. You know, there's not that many different types of tobacco.
Uh-huh.
You know, I ask people, name me 10 wrappers.
Yeah.
And it's tough. A lot of people can't do it. So we try to buy different things just to maintain, you know, and that's basically my day is trying to get things that I've never tasted before and asking people. The biggest thing that we have here as a company, the greatest thing that we have as a company is that we like to learn from people that know more than us.
Okay.
You know, I got Hector who works with me, you know. I had him work under Nick Melillo that was at Drew Estate. Nick is phenomenal, you know.
Mm-hmm.
He knows a lot, so I had Hector learn under him. I learned under DeCosso, you know.
Right.
We have no egos here.
Good.
You know? I don't know everything, but I like to learn. And every time I go there, I like to learn. I like to gain more knowledge. And the more knowledge, the more you know, the better things come out.
That's true. Hey, I got to bring this up. I know you're a frustrated singer. Have you ever done anything musically? Have you performed or played an instrument? I mean, like, what do you do for fun, I guess?
No, yeah. I did. I did it with you, actually, at Jonathan, Jonathan Drew's wedding in the Galway.
That was fun.
You were the organ player. Remember, I was the lead singer.
Yeah, yeah. So what do you do, like, when, you know, when you're not in Nicaragua? Like, you know, I know you have... friends, family.
Being on the road all the time, I know the words to a lot of songs, and I do like to sing. I don't have a voice to sing, you know. I got a horrible voice, but I do enjoy singing, you know.
Mm-hmm.
And every time there's karaoke, I have a couple drinks in me, you know. You can't take the mic away from me. You know?
Oh my God! All right. Well, anyway, what I wanted to ask you finally was, what can cigar smokers expect from Espinosa in the year ahead? Are you planning any in-store events, you know, things like that? What's going on with the company and the releases?
Yeah, we everything now, we have everything down packed now.
Mm-hmm.
Gary, I hired a sales manager. I have the whole country covered with reps now.
That's great.
And things are getting a lot better. You know, a lot more people are getting to know our brand.
Mm-hmm.
Again, we like to come up with brands that don't taste the same. That everything is different, and then we're working on some stuff for the IPCPR.
Mm-hmm.
You know, we like to focus on the brands we have now. We don't like to come out with something, you know, all the time. You know, we like to focus and pay attention to the brands we have now because I think it's very, very important. You know, that you focus on them and don't let them slip. You know, the more you focus on them, the more you're going to sell. On them, and you let people get to try our cigars. That's what I'm a big fan of. You know, once they smoke and they try it, and we believe in our product, you know, it's just going to sell a heck of a lot more.
Well, you know, it's interesting you say that because I spoke with Ernesto Carrillo a few months ago, and I asked him about, you know, what's missing in the cigar industry. What's the cigar industry like not doing, or, you know, and his opinion was, I think there's just too many cigars. You know, I mean, every year these labels, they feel obligated, I suppose. They have to come up with something new, you know. And maybe what you're doing is, you know, the right thing. Just stick with the brands that you know are really good, let people get familiar with the brand and let them catch on their own and then maybe move on to something.
The retail needs to educate the consumers, you know, because the consumer, I see it all the time. They come into the store, what's new? Everybody wants what's new. I don't, you know, I go into a grocery store, you know, I want my Diet Coke. I don't care what else is out there, you know what I mean? People just want to try new stuff.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, and they don't stick. And you know, in the cigars that I come up with, you know, you have a lot of, most of the people that smoke my brands, you know, they're cigar whores, which so am I. You know, I like to try different brands. You know, most people that smoke medium to full, you know, they're more educated. you know, through social media and all that, and they tried different stuff. You know, the guys who smoked the mild cigars just come in and grab their mild cigars that they like and, right. and out the door, you know. And the stuff that I sell, you know, it's medium to full, and then everybody tries. If it's not my brand, other people's brand. And, you know, and but still, even if they like one, they'll still try other ones, you know. So I have mm-hmm. to compete with every other company that makes medium to full body cigars.
Well, I'll tell you, I've smoked just about everything in your line. And it's all been very consistent. I've smoked the factory selects, the Lizonas. They're all really tasty and consistent. And a lot of people think, you know, well, if I'm buying a bundle or something like that, it's not going to be the same quality. But it really is. I mean, that's very hard to tell the difference between.
Here's the thing that, and I'll educate your consumer. Okay. You know, we make those that product because sometimes when you buy that you don't. Roll your own tobacco. Sometimes, you know, when you're out there, if you buy a Lajero, you know, you have to buy Viso. And if you buy Viso, sometimes you got to buy Seco.
Right.
They just won't sell it to you. Mm-hmm. So it's good quality tobacco.
Sure.
Okay. But you still have to buy it. So, and then you have to create a blend with that because you're just not going to let it go to waste.
Of course.
So the tobacco doesn't cost as much as the other one. The Seco, the Viso costs more than the Seco. The Lajero costs more than Viso. So mm-hmm. what you have to do, you have to create, you know, cigars with it, you know. And they're great cigars. I mean, great tobacco that you're using, but you have to create something with it because it's not going to go to waste.
That's true. And apparently, a lot of people don't seem to get that. They think it's some kind of inferior. But, you know, I'll tell the people, look, this tobacco is, this is good stuff. It's not, you know, they're not just throwing these out the door, you know.
Correct.
You know,
I'm not going to go spend money and waste my money to go buy
right.
Tobacco that's no good. What am I going to do that for? To make bundles with tobacco that's no good? No,
right.
I don't do that. Yeah. It's just tobacco that I have to buy. Just because, you know, hey, listen, you just can't go in a grocery store and just buy the meat, and leave the bone. You know what
right.
I mean?
Yeah.
They're going to charge you for that bone, whether you wanted to take it out or not. They're going to charge you for it.
Yeah. Well, anyway, let's have anything you'd like to add before we get going here, because we're just about out of time.
Oh, well, yeah, I want everyone out there to try that 601 Steel that I make for Famous. I think it's a phenomenal cigar.
Yes, it
you
is.
You know, and I would, it's a dark Habano wrapper. I think it's got a lot of great flavor, and I think every one of your consumers should try it out.
Yeah, it's definitely, and I'm glad you brought it up. I was remiss in not mentioning that I had one a few weeks ago, and it's excellent. And I'm not, I'm a big fan of the 601 line. I like the green line in particular. Mm-hmm. And I gave the 601 Steel a try, and it was very, very smooth. It wasn't overpowering. It had a lot of flavor, a lot of good strength to it, but it wasn't, you know, like knock you on your ass. And I really enjoyed it. So I have to thank you for bringing that up, because that is a really good cigar.
You got it.
And, anyway, so I guess, you know, I want to thank you for being on the podcast here. It's always a pleasure to talk with you. And let me know when you're going to be up here in Eastern Pennsylvania, too.
You got it. I appreciate it. Right. Thank you for your time.
All right, man. Thanks again, Eric.
You got it.
Take
Thanks.
It easy, buddy. Bye-bye. Okay, all righty then. You can buy Espinosa cigars at FamousSmoke.com. May I suggest you check out the Espinosa Habano, the 601 Steel, and the Laranja Reserva. And you can learn more about Espinosa cigars by visiting their website at EspinosaCigars.com. That's all for now. Hasta la próxima. Adios, amigos.